Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Down the block, Andrew John. Inside for Elba. Elba will score! Elba will score! Newcastle has won!
Round 2 review. Broncos defeat the Rabbitohs 28-18. This is a game of extreme lows, but also extreme highs. Especially that first half, super sloppy, super slow, low standard. But the Broncos do what they do best, and they just have these incredible moments that just shift momentum, almost demoralise the opposition where they go. I mean, I know... Obviously, there's other things with the Trell interview that happened where he was swearing or whatever, but what he actually said was like, you know, they're big, athletic and powerful. And I do think there are teams that sometimes get to Brisbane at Suncorp and they kind of get 40 to 50 minutes into the game and they just go, like, this is relentless. This athletic kind of forward pack, like every back we have to worry about. And so although, you know, low completion rates, a bit of a sloppy game, once again, that Broncos athleticism just almost becomes overwhelming for teams. Now, on the flip side of that, I don't think the Rabbitohs played that well. So it's not necessarily the Broncos can walk away from this game going, yep, we've taken a big scalp. But at the same time, what they have proven is when they turn it up a notch, they absolutely can still be the best team in the competition. So it's one of those games where, yep, bit scrappy, early in the year, you take the win, you move on. Boys, what'd you think?
Yeah, I think it's a really good point with, you know, arriving up there at Suncorp and you just realise how ferocious this pack is, especially... You know, when Payne Haas comes back on for that second stint, yeah, I imagine when you see him run on the field, you must just go, good God, no thank you. And you're right, mate, Brisbane weren't perfect. A lot of errors, but that's Broncos footy.
Yeah, I think we just got to accept it.
And I think, you know, I've said it for a long time about Reece Walsh, and I think it sort of personifies who the Broncos are now. They're not afraid to make mistakes, which makes them so dangerous. Yeah. And that was the hallmark of the old Brisbane Broncos sides. They were, you might score 38, but I guarantee you, we're going to score 40.
Yeah.
Brisbane are not afraid to turn that ball over to take risks because they know that they've got the stars.
It's like, it's almost as if, you know, grand final withstanding, like take that out. Unless you're 3 tries ahead of them, you basically got to worry that they're going to come back into the game. That's how quickly they can just turn things around.
And I mean, even if you want to leave the grand final, and you better hope you're one of the greatest teams we've ever seen with 20 minutes of potentially the best player in the game.
Mm.
And that's what it took.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah. Timmy, what do you think, mate?
Yeah, look, I think both sides will probably walk away, or certainly the Bunnies, but not overly happy with the outing. That's the Broncos included. And I say that because you mentioned Campy, they have these explosive moments where they know they can turn it on and essentially no team in the competition can stop them. They knew that already going into this game. Completely agree on the style of footy and the completion rates that the Broncos have so much firepower. They use the ball so well. They do play at times some probably high-risk footy because they back themselves to score tries, and I love that, and I'd be doing the exact same thing. But yeah, both completing at under 70%. The Bunnies had key players out. The Broncos should have been winning this game. The game was very clunky, a lot of errors, but the superstars stood up, and there were some just phenomenal moments in it, from Reece Walsh to Latrell Mitchell to Saliva Havili, some of the biggest moments in the game from Saliva.
Yeah.
It was entertaining enough to watch because of these superstars that grace Suncorp Stadium. But yeah, I think all in all, they're Neither side's going to be overly happy with it.
No, I don't. I don't think the Broncos walk away going, yeah, we've just absolutely put on a clinic. Rabbitohs, I think, you know, should be extremely disappointed with it.
If it was a Rabbitohs side with Jack White and with Campbell Gray and with Jai Arrow, and that's a scoreline and the Broncos were clunky, it's all right, but they're missing a lot of players.
Yeah. And so, with like again, I think the Broncos, they're going to build into their season. I think also, even though we had kind of all agreed that this is a style of footy they're going to play, which is going to be, you know, high tempo, high risk, you still got to try to land around the 75%. You know, other teams, you want to land around 85% in a really good game. You still want to land around the 75%. And also, you know, some of the errors had nothing to do with risky plays. They were just poor errors. And so they've just got to make sure they just find that right balance.
There are sides, Kempe, like the Raiders, who are the complete opposite to what we said about the Broncos, who they have to complete high because they don't have as many points in them as a side like the Broncos, who, you know, need to be aiming for that 85 to hopefully 90% mark to win games of footy. The Broncos can do it with a lot less ball, but as you said, maybe their aim is like, oh, we still need to hit 75%. Like, you don't want to be dropping too far below that.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. They take on the Penrith Panthers this week on Thursday night. So, you know, reasonably quick, short around, turnaround there. And we're definitely going to put that to test, aren't we? If you complete under 70 against Penrith, we know how it normally plays out.
So I think it's going to be a tough night because we're missing Renault.
Yep. Mm.
Maybe Haas, Mam injury cloud, and maybe, like, pretty much our star players all have injury clouds.
The halves are the killer, isn't it? Because like Panthers, Fisher-Harris looks like he'll miss as well, but you could lose both your halves.
Which is like, then you're probably going to go Madden, maybe Falls, or you put Walters there and you bring
Falls
in Pakes.
Is Falls top 30? I wasn't sure, but because he played preseason games, but obviously he can play from outside the top 30.
Well, if he isn't, you're probably going Madden 6, Walters 7.
Doesn't look like he's top 30.
Or Walters 7, Madden. Well, sorry, Walters 6. Anyway, either way. And then you probably bring Corey Pakes.
Come in there.
You reckon you're defending the front line?
That's going to be an issue. Yeah. You're going to have to score points. So.
Oh, man. I don't think you'd be ready for a front line defence against a Penny Panthers. I think it'd be a very tough night. In attack, sorted. Like, seriously. Mm. Like, there's an argument to be made. In attack, he's like a top 10 fullback in the NRL. In attack.
Tell you what, going down to Penrith, if those halves are out, Reece Walsh up against the Penrith Panthers without the halves there, like, what do you got, mate? and not that anyone will be critical if he doesn't turn it on against that side, but if he can without particularly Adam Reynolds there. Yep. Oh.
I will say what I really liked about Walsh's game on the weekend was we all know he can do the crazy stuff. We've seen it like game after game, but Ezra and Renault looked really clunky in attack, like super clunky. And so Reece Walsh, instead of getting the ball two passes out, he just went one off the ruck and said, give me the ball, and basically just took control of the game and turned the game. And that just shows a sign of maturity. Crazy thing is, he's still only 21 years old, which just like, it baffles you.
And the thing about, like, I was a little bit, you know, critical of Brisbane despite putting 28 points on and beating, you know, a team that we all favoured to do pretty well this year in the Rabbitohs. What do we say? Like, about 14 sides in the competition's attack has been clunky to start the year. To start every season, attacks are clunky, so they're not alone.
Yeah.
And they're still, you know, they've won a good game.
Now, some key performances. First, I'll start with Paddy Carrigan. You know, Matty brought this up, but is there a world where he's still underrated? I know that sounds silly because he's so, so rated, but his consistency in the middle there for what, 3 or 4 years now? It is genuine. Like, put it this way, I think that a lot of people, maybe it's getting to the point where, but like, they see Payne Haas as the pin-up forward for Brisbane, and rightly so. Payne Haas is incredible, but it really is getting to the point where they're pretty much neck and neck in regards to impact. And if you said, you know, Paddy is actually more important, it's a reasonable thing to say, and that's taking nothing away from Payne, because like, Payne is literally one of the he'll end up being one of the greatest forwards all time. But I just think look at the difference in the side when they got rolling compared to when he was on the edge against the Roosters. Like, he still got through a lot of work on the edge, but it was nowhere near as effective in the middle. You just cannot afford to put him out on the edge, I don't think.
Yeah, same goes to both these teams. I cannot believe they ever moved their 13 out of that lock forward position. It's wild. I said it last year during the State of Origin series, and I stand by it. I reckon Carrigan's going to finish his career as being in the Maroons' best 17 ever.
Mate, he is. I mean, to get the Wally Lewis medal in your first series,
like, mate, people forget how young he is and the stuff he's doing. Like, he is, He's probably the most well-rounded 13 in the competition, I think.
And then that doesn't even include the like his intelligence on the field, like his communication. If you ever want to see his importance, go watch the clip where I think it's Fox he's mic'd up with.
It's the best.
It is the best ever. And you might go, oh, yeah, like he's just talking like normal. But I find at times forwards don't talk that much. That's usually reserved to your 9, your 6, your 7.
And when forwards do talk like that, they're in year 9, year 10.
Yeah.
Not 3 and 4.
And so I just think that, look, I'm not saying he's underrated, but at the same time, I do think that there is a wider audience that may not just appreciate just how important he is to that pack.
If you want to say he's underrated, I don't think it's a wild take, though. I really don't. I think people underappreciate just how good he is and how consistent he is week to week.
Because, like, right now, if you went to the wider audience and they said, who's the best 13 in the game, most people would probably say Murray Yo.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's an argument you made, well, I don't think either of them have won Man of the Series in Origin. It's... Yeah,
They're so different. They're so different. All three of those players, seriously. Sure. Like, Pat Carrigan almost plays more as a front rower. Mm. Like, he's not big for offloading, tackle busting, a bit of decent ball playing, but that's not what he's known for. Mm. Like, Yo is. Like, yeah. Cam Murray can do to a lesser degree. They're all such different players.
Yeah, and like, Cam Murray's focus, he can ball play a little bit, but it's really just his really quick play of the balls. Yeah. And he's really strong defense. And then Isaiah Yo is just this... just almost deceptively strong ball playing lock. Whereas, yeah, it's almost like Paddy Carrigan's on this end of the scale of front rower. Yo is on this end of ball playing. And then Murray's like somewhere in the middle of what he does.
They're all so different.
They're so different. But look, yeah, as I said, I'm not sitting here going, he's underrated or whatever. But at the same time, I do think there probably is a bit of a wider audience that when you genuinely sit down and watch what he delivers for that team week
and
in,
why
week
the wider audience probably, you know, may not appreciate him as much as, say, Yo or Murray. Because he doesn't have the flashy moments. Mm. He's not scoring tries. He's not setting them up as such.
Yep.
He's just chucking that, running 200 metres plus every single game, making 40, 50 tackles and hardly missing one, playing huge minutes week in, week out.
Yeah. So I thought Paddy Carrigan was outstanding, which is good because I watched him against the Roosters. Are we at 20 minutes already for this game? 10. Oh, fuck. Oh, my God. So just for people listening, this year, Maddie waves when we're at 10 minutes, and then he waves again when we're at 20 minutes.
The Broncos Rabbitohs preview was 20 minutes of just talking about Pat Carrigan.
Pat Carrigan, far out. Yeah, so I thought he was amazing. When he played the Roosters on the edge there, I was a little bit worried. I was like, oh, he doesn't look as involved as he usually does. And I know it's stupid to say because he's out on the edge, but I just almost expected him to go looking for the ball. But he just played his role. Like, he was told to stay out there, and he did that, which is a credit to him that even a player of his stature still listens to the coach and, you know, doesn't go in there and just force his way into the game.
Mate, isn't it a great parallel, like a great contrast, two of those blokes we just mentioned, Pat Carrigan v. Cam Murray. The impact it had last week of Pat Carrigan playing on the edge for the Broncos due to the Piakura early HIA, Cam Murray had to play on an edge in this game and was so much less effective. And same thing, he did his job and he stayed on the edge 9 runs for 78 metres. Like if you're putting arguably your best player to an edge, you have to find him and get him good ball. But the impact that had on the middles for the Bunnies. So it's like what happened last week to the Bronx was this week to the Bunnies.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to the Murray situation for sure. Also, let's talk about Selwyn Cobbo. It's only 2 games. I knew his attack would be good. Did I know he'd be this good, like, against the Rabbitohs? Like, he was incredible. But I'm actually quite surprised at how good his defence looked. Like, he didn't look rattled. He wasn't, you know, he was communicating well with Jesse Arthurs, where he would allow Jesse Arthurs to jam in, and then he would trail in behind. We saw him take players out over the sideline, maybe even twice, definitely once. Selwyn Cobbo, if they can keep this up, Jesse Arthurs also has been unbelievable. If they can keep this up and build a combination, you could be looking at the Dally M Centre of the Year. And it's a hot field this year. You've got Tungo, May, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, you know, you name it. There's so many players that have played well in the centres. But Selwyn Cobbo's game on the weekend was phenomenal.
Yeah, and the real estate that he's sitting on there at left centre outside Ezra with Piakura there as well, he's got to be right up there in the conversation. And that was my big worry coming into this season. You'd had 3 guys that haven't defended together before. How are they going to go? Even when he was playing on the wing last year, Selwyn, his decision-making at times sort of threw me a little bit. And I, like, take out, you know, that game against Joey Manu, where I think most centres probably would have got done and dusted in that game by Manu when he's in that sort of form. I think Selwyn looks unreal.
Well, okay, so the game against Manu, and look, maybe I'm misremembering, but he got done with footwork. Like, I'm okay. Like, he got done with footwork. It's the reads that I have a concern with. Like, you know, and then there was the other flick pass. That was just a one in a million thing. Again, maybe I need to go back and watch, and he had some poor reads, and I'm happy to say I'm wrong. All I care about in those positions is what reads you're making. Sometimes if you get stepped by really good outside backs, doesn't bother me mostly, unless you're falling off tackles.
Yeah. I was pretty sceptical of him going to centre with those defensive reads like we all were. But a great tick early on what he's shown. We knew he was going to be dominant in attack. He's a freak. What's impressed me on the weekend is the deft touch, the hands, the little tip on. I'm like, I didn't know he had those hands in him.
Far out. So, yeah, really good to see Selwyn Cobbo excelling at the moment. Yes, two games. Now, some negatives with the Broncos. I spoke about this on Packer Up, boys. Just guys like your Kobe Heatherings and Tapua. Now, Tapua was a little bit better this week, but he struggled first week, if I recall correctly. And he had a silly offload this week as well. And then Kobe Heatherington had two pretty poor errors. And it sounds harsh, but, for example, when you're Kobe Heatherington and, like, your strongest suit is battler, get through your work, tough carries, heaps of tackles, minimal errors, we just need to make sure that he takes a step to another level this year, because we've lost two key forwards. I'm sure he's going to, you know, do his video review and look at those errors or whatever, but just those two, with our forwards that come off the bench, even more pressure is on them than last year, because we need either those two or Willison to step up and fill the gap that's been left by the forwards. So, look, tiny detail, but just something that we need to keep, like, as a Broncos fan, you just keep an eye on those forwards that did a good, solid job last year, need to almost just take a little bit of a step more this year, I think.
It's interesting, Xavier Willison, he was 18th man once again. I'd love to see him come into this side at some point. And I think one thing with, like, young front row forwards like him, he obviously had a very big preseason, was impressive in the trials, but, you know, it's now been 2 weeks of him without playing a game of rugby league. I think
he did play for the Burley Bears last week.
He did,
week.
Did he?
Yeah,
okay,
so.
Good, sweet.
Good. Can you check that for me, Matty?
Yeah, I was just trying to find it. No, I couldn't see it, but that's good to hear, because you want him still playing.
Oh, you want him playing, for sure.
I was going to say, if he's not playing Q Cup and he's 18th man every week, I would almost put him in the side. Even if someone doesn't deserve to get dropped next week, I'd put him in the side just to get some runs on the board.
Yeah, you got to have him playing. You'd rather have a veteran in an 18th jersey that, you know, doesn't need to
get... Yeah, play Q Cup.
Okay.
You look at, like, talking about the impact off the bench, the injection, particularly through the middle. You know, like, they've lost Herbie, who we keep saying how vital he was to their coming out of their own end in the yardage, losing that, losing Flegler, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, Paddy Carrigan, 75 minutes. Payne Haas actually, well, he had a little ankle, I think it was, on the weekend, but 56 minutes, which is great. But you don't want to have to be playing these blokes massive minutes from the start of the season. So someone needs to step up to make sure they are in these contests and winning games.
Yeah. So, yeah, as I said, I'm being critical when I say, you know, a couple errors here or there, but it's more from a perspective of, if you want to win a premiership this year, you just have to take that next little step, hopefully.
One thing I did love, Ken, be sort of circling back a little bit to Selwyn Cobbo, and it's last season they were pretty dominant down that right edge of, you know, Reynolds and Cobbo, Reece Walsh's best work there. The signs this season with moving Cobbo to the left have been pretty good. So they scored 48% of their tries down the right edge and 35% down the left edge, which is a pretty massive discrepancy, obviously, the rest coming through the middle. If they can keep being this good in attack with Cobbo at centre on that left edge, Mam's only going to get better, Arthur's look phenomenal, just to balance out that attack across the field.
Also, I thought Katoni Staggs was really good, getting through his work, 11 runs, 132 metres, 4 tackle breaks. That's what we need. We need him hitting the 130, 140 metres. I thought he was good. Dean Mariner, far out.
Freak.
Absolute freak. How quick is he? What about him mowing down Alex Johnston from behind?
Oh. Unbelievable. Well, a lot of people talking about all the other people in the Broncos backline, Walsh, Cobbo, Stags, but they can hit you from anywhere. And Mariner, those two tries that he got, how good was the chip and chase?
Oh,
unbelievable.
So
just
good.
Make something out of nothing. He looks like there was a bit of contention. Would he get the nod at the start of the season or not? But I think he's going to be playing a lot more footy.
So explosive, eh?
In first grade this year, for sure, yep.
Okay, now onto the Rabbitohs. Yeah, like, It's hard to talk about because it's two rounds, and all you have to do is look at the Dragons and go, a week's a long time in footy. You know, gone from, oh, wow, these guys look incredible, to, oh, wow, that was an extremely disappointing performance. The Rabbitohs are unique for me because they're hard to talk about because there is no denying they are missing key players. They're missing Whiten, they're missing Campbell Graham, Jai Arrow. So you have to always keep that in mind. But the concern is they aren't, that isn't the areas that I feel, like, for example, the amount of errors they made in that first half and even most of that second half, that's not due to not having superstar players. That's just due to not respecting the ball enough. Now, granted, when you look at some of the decisions on the edge there defensively, Jackie Whiten will sort that out. So that I can kind of just put aside and go, I think by the time Whiten gets back in, it'll be fine. But it's the other stuff of, you know, poor fifth tackle options. It's two penalties given with the blocking thing that everyone knows you can't do that. And even the whole, you know, pretending to run up to get the ball on the fifth tackle, you just can't do it. Like, so even if you might pretend like, oh, mate, I was running to get the ball, it's like we all know what's happening. So just stand behind the kicker or get out of the way. So there's two of those, then a kick into the back of a player. It's those kind of errors. If it was just round one and two, and let's say they finished last year really well, or even just solidly, I would have no issue. I would just be like, it's round two, who cares? This side definitely can go on a run. My concern is these are similar-ish errors to the run that they had last year. That's where I start to go. That's where I start to get a bit concerned that we're seeing similar mistakes in their bad run to last year. Now, when they get all those boys back, that's when I'll have it won't be hard to judge them. I'll be able to have a full judging of what they are doing. But at the moment, there definitely are concerns.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of red flags at the moment around their effort areas. And I look at this week and go, with Jack Whiten coming back in, you know he's going to lead the kick chase. You know he's going to do all that tough stuff. You said there he'll hold up that edge. Mate, I'm looking at South Sydney this week taking on the Roosters. It's round three. It's early days, but Christ, this is an important game. Oh, they need to get up for this one because I was having a look at their draw. Let's say hypothetically they lose against the Roosters in round three, right?
Don't do hypotheticals.
Let's say there's a world where they lose in round three. They then play round four, the Canterbury Bulldogs, which I'd back them to win that game.
For sure.
But then they go Warriors, Sharks, bye, Melbourne, Penrith.
Jesus Christ.
If they were to lose against the Roosters and let's say they pick up a win against Canterbury, maybe like against the Warriors and the Sharks, who I think have looked unreal to start this season, the Bunnies could find themselves going into a bye in round seven. 1-5, 1-6, 1-5, yeah. And then you come out of that to play the Melbourne Storm and the Penrith Panthers. Now, you know, you'll probably get, I assume, Jai Arrow back in that period. You won't get Campbell Graham back in that time. So that's the big worry for me, that it is a very tough draw. They're playing some informed sides and they need to get a response this week. JD needs to get a response out of them taking on the Sydney Roosters. It sounds like Ilias won't be the seven this week. So they're going into this game with a new halfback.
Mm.
Who that will be, I'm not too sure just yet. You would assume
Hawkins,
unless they go with Jack in the halves maybe.
Mate, it's and that's the thing. You know, if you're sitting there going, oh, come on, guys, it's two rounds, but look at these questions we have over this squad. We shouldn't have these crazy questions where we're going, we assume that this guy will be here and this guy will be here and hopefully Dyer will be here and Campbell Graham, that whole situation. Like, there's just so many different things that just haven't seemed to be clicking for the Rabbitohs on and off the field. And I'm not sitting here going, oh, it's their fault that Campbell Graham got injured or Dyer. I'm just saying that, like,
small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
There's so many things that you could point to and go, could have that been taken care of? Could have that been taken care of? Could have that been better? Yeah, like, they're just a hard team to talk about because if we're sitting here in 3 weeks and going, "Hole, like the Rabbitohs, mate, how good do they look?" It wouldn't shock me at all. But at the same time, if we're sitting here in 6 weeks going, "Uh-oh, it's a disaster," that also wouldn't, you know, surprise me that much.
And you know, had we not watched how last year played out when they got themselves in a rut and they just simply couldn't get out of it, I probably wouldn't be overly concerned.
I wouldn't, honestly, would not have an issue right now.
But now you're looking at it going, well, are the problems solved or not? We'll have to wait and see.
And that's what the headlines will say. They go, you know, they go 0-3 or whatever. The headlines are already written. They're already there. And so it's not necessarily whether the headlines are true or not true. It's just, it's going to, so let's say those headlines start to, you know, pop up. You know, what's happened at the Rabbitohs? What's going on there? Blah, blah, blah. It's going to take more than just one win to get rid of those headlines. So you're actually chasing your tail for like a month to just quell the noise.
And when you're standing on the edge of headlines like that, a loss against your arch rivals, the Sydney Roosters, who are coming off a short turnaround here. You know, you got to remember, South played on Thursday night. This game's on Friday. Roosters played Sunday.
Yeah.
It's a short turnaround into that game. Like, there's no excuses for South Sydney going into this game. They have to stand up. They have to deliver or it's going to get ugly.
The thing is, like, that. You could be different. They don't necessarily need to win for me. They just need to put together 80 minutes of good footy. What do you reckon, Timmy?
Yeah, they need a game manager in there. And you don't like to point fingers too much, but look, Lachie Ilias in the past, you know, the back end of last season when they fell off the cliff, and to start this season, he hasn't been that game manager for them. They have all these attacking weapons. They know how many points they've got in them, but they have to earn the right. They have to get around the field, and they need a bloke that, you know, when they do maybe get a little bit overconfident and start spreading the ball too early, to rein it in and say, no, let's get to third. Let's kick early. Let's play through the middle and earn the right to do this and allow our superstars in Cody and Latrell to thrive. And Lachlan Ilias is so far from being the only issue in this team. Like, you look at the spine and there's three big-name players on far bigger coin than him, but their job also isn't really game management. Like, that's what Lachlan Ilias is in there as the number seven to do. And I think, as you said, Guru, it sounds like Ilias might be getting dropped this week. So if it's Hawkins come in, whatever they do, they just need someone to come in and steer the ship and calm things down a little bit. Because, as I said, the points will come.
Well, look at the 10 minutes after half time, all through the middle.
Yeah.
And it was just rolling the sleeves up.
Yeah.
And they looked unstoppable. They honestly looked like the Broncos were shell-shocked. And so that's why they're super difficult to talk about, because you see these patches, like these 10-minute patches of what we know the Rabbitohs can be. But it's just a matter of, like, can you get that for 80 minutes?
Yeah, and when you talk about game management as well, this is where I think, once again, Cam Murray at 13 has to be there. He's a lock forward and whatnot, but, like, you look at, like, he gets so much of their shape in order. He's a big communicator out there. Like, I think it made the job of Lachie Ilias really tough when you chuck a, you know, I think it was Shaq Mitchell that started there at 13. Like, with all due respect to Shaq, it's not the answer. You've got one of the best 13s on this planet in your side, and he's sitting out on the right edge.
Yeah, I didn't agree with that. I understand Talis Duncan's a rookie. I get that he's relatively new, but I think you just needed to take the risk. And look, if he can't punch out 80 minutes, like, surely there's a, even if you start Cam there and you move him there for 10 minutes or so, and then you move him back in. I didn't think moving Cam Murray to an edge was the answer.
And, you know, I would assume South Sydney are doing this because they're looking at the longevity of Cam Murray's career. Mm. And I get that, and I actually back it. You want to have him at his best for the next 10 years. But, mate, short term, you're looking down the barrel of a 2024 season that could be a nightmare.
I reckon they're doing it because they didn't think they had a better edge to do a job and allow him to stay in the middle. I don't think it's got anything to do with longevity. I just think they're like, Talis Duncan's come back from injury. Who else do we put there? Jacob Hoste was injured. They just didn't have the option.
Well, I just, either or, let's say it's a better option or, you know, fatigue or whatever, you can still put Cam Murray in there for 50 minutes of the game.
Yeah, like he played 80 on the edge.
Yeah, so it's like put him in there for 50 minutes and then bring him out to the edge to take some, you know, time out there to chill out to a degree.
And there's similarities in these two sides in that they've both got such relentless attack in them and so many points in them. But the difference is when we talk about the Bunnies pack, and we mentioned the Broncos can throw the ball around, play expansively and play some highest footy, because they know that more often than not, if not almost every week, they're going to win the middle. The Bunnies aren't. So, like, they're not earning the right to play that expansive footy and throw it around. So the Bunnies, he said, just roll up the sleeves, focus on the middle, allow that attack to come, because it will.
Yeah, and we've seen it. We've seen it. They came out against Manly, looked like absolute world beaters. And then for some reason, I don't know what it is. Like, they get to about 10 minutes and they just struggle, just really struggle. So, look, the positive is that they have shown patches of brilliance. So the evidence is there. Whereas, you know, if they had to come out, there's no patches, that's when you get, you know, super, super worried. But they need to turn it around and turn it around quickly because...
I think they'll be fine. But, like, I had them genuine title contenders 2 weeks ago. I think they'll be fine. I still think they can make the top eight. Whether or not they're genuine title contenders now, it's like it's getting creakier by the day.
Yeah, that, it definitely... I was the same. I had them as title contenders. I'm still not ready to fully write them off from a title contender, but very, like, I'm far less confident at this stage.
I know he's only a centre, but Jack's going to have a massive impact on his team. I can't wait to see them with him in there.
I'm happy. I'll probably be able to give them a real full judging when Jairo and Jackie Whiten are back in the side, because obviously Campbell Graham's essentially gone. That's when you'll kind of know, like, what can this team put together for 80 minutes? What do you reckon, Hammy?
Yeah, you just touched on Jack Whiten, and I just think they look like they're lacking a bit of, like, energy at the moment, the Bunnies. They don't look like that interested the whole way through the games, but someone who does bring the energy is Whiten. Like, loves big games, not going to get many bigger games than Rabbitohs versus the Roosters on Friday night. Like, he's won, you know, a Dally M, a Clive Churchill, a couple of Origin Man of the Matches as well. So I don't know where he's going to play. I don't think it really matters, but I think he's going to add a lot of kind of enthusiasm and energy to the team, and that's just what they need at the moment. So going to be a key figure for them for sure.
Tell you what, Jack Whiten versus Joey Manu this week.
Oh, wow.
Heat up your popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.